may not be as entertaining as Drew comes. It has a little bit of a serious take on language learning. To begin with, I think acknowledgements are in order. The study that I'll be reporting from is based on a large research project that I have coordinated in the Adult Minor English Global Research Center, which is a very child of English Club, and currently being overseen by our current director, Linda Yates. Also, our very efficient research assistants are here at Fund with Emily and Vera and Jenny. I am very aware of ethical limitations, so please don't worry. The pictures that you see are not of the participants I am reporting about, but I wanted to use pictures. They are still nonetheless pictures of actual students enrolled in the MEP, because I wanted to, for us to retain a sense of the reality in that the data that I'll be reporting are called from migrants to Australia and, you know, who have moved here and finding their own identity and finding ways of being socially included. The title may be a bit cliche, but when I was back in the Philippines, and as you're aware, the Philippines is a very dominant country for exporting labor. This is the constant expression that I hear from other Filipinos who go abroad in terms of, you know, finding a better life. And I found that resonating a lot when I was talking to the participants that I shall be reporting in the next 18 minutes or so. Similar to what Jorge mentioned in terms of the link in the ALT program in Canada, Australia has a national settlement program called the Adult Migrant English Program. It provides free 510 hours to migrants to Australia who are considered without functional English. And the curriculum following is called Certificate in Spoken and Written English Curriculum, the outcomes of which are articulated in CANDU outcomes, as you will see later on. As expected, based on the website of the Department of Immigration and Citizenship, the large enrollment in the AMAP program comes from the humanitarian and family migration streams. The discourse in terms of the participation of clients in the AMAP are, I can summarize in terms of three ways relating English proficiency and settlement, as I quote from one of the participants, which I shall introduce properly later on. Sherry asked why she's in the AMAP. Her reasoning is that, you know, Australia speaks English, and so I really don't have a choice, but I must speak English for purposes of settlement. The other discourse that is prevalent comes from the website again of DIAC in terms of associating English proficiency with enabling participants to be workplace ready in some shape or form. So functional English assists migrants to settle successfully in Australia and provide the basic language skills necessary to deal with everyday social and some work situations in English. And I'll speak about that more later on. And finally, the other broader discourse that I find across all the participants is the association of English proficiency and social inclusion by way of finding the AMEP or the venue where they learn English as a site for establishing social networking and connection. Iman from Pakistan in summertime, where English classes are not ongoing, actually goes to the park because she has no family and friends, she reports. And so she goes to the park and finds other people to speak to in English. And so there is that awareness of associating the ability to have this linguistic capital to then become feeling socially included where they are. So the large project that I shall be recording from is entitled Language Training and Settlement Success, Are They Related? It's a Department of Immigration and Citizenship funded longitudinal nationwide study which involves around 11 AMAP centres across Australia. So all states bar Northern Territory and Canberra are represented. In each site, we have academic and teacher researchers that follow around 152 participants across the Certificate for Spoken and Written English curriculum. Of those 152 participants, we have around 112 females and 14 males. You have heard most of the papers before we talk about ethnography, and this is similar in way in terms of its modes of ethnography, following similar MAP clients across various sites all over Australia. The three large main research questions in that large study are what kinds of interactions in English, be it spoken, written, and computer mediated, the contemporary MAP clients engaged inside and outside the classroom during the time in the MAP and afterward. So most of them are involved in the AMAP and consume their 510 hours for more or less around 6 months. And so our data collection spanned 1 year, and so we were able to still be engaged with participants for another extra months, 6 months, which time they were no longer in the AMAP. How are the two related, and how can their fit be improved, and how are interactions in English different for various learner groups, and how can the language training be customized to meet the language needs of different participants? Data categories that we have. I wanted to show this to you because I wanted to show the extent of the data that we're collecting across the participants. We've collected basic demographic profile for all 152 participants. We've conducted quarterly interviews across the 1 year at the beginning of their involvement in the study, and then 3 months, every 3 months thereafter. We've asked them to nominate people that they speak in English with socially outside the classroom, and asked them to record conversations that they have with them. We've asked them to also allow us to follow them or record for themselves conceptual interactions in English that they have outside of the classroom. We've observed them in the classroom and have a look at how they've engaged in English in the classroom. And we've collected teaching materials that they've engaged with and also assessment portfolios. So in the curriculum, they are periodically assessed based on how they've achieved the can-do learning outcomes. For this particular presentation, I will focus on quarterly interviews that I've conducted with the participants. The principles that I'm looking at and seeing how they are translated in the interview data that I have analyzed, again, are similar constructs that have been mentioned in the earlier presentations in terms of language, and how is a symbolic capital for them, in terms of what Priyokasan just explained, in terms of languages seen as an investment. How is that an investment for this particular cohort, and how is it, what kinds of symbolic and material resources do they actually find in having enrolled in the AMAP? Investment in the target language as an investment in their own social identity, as I'll show later on. Share how their social identity is constantly changing from the moment they have set foot here and have an expectation of what their life would become, to then actually experiencing, having the actual experiences and seeing how that changes for them. And Telberry and the colleague Price for his 2007 study points out how employment is an important pathway to social inclusion for most of the migrants. Predominantly, they've looked at refugee migrants. My participants, except for one, came under the family spouse migrant stream and not the refugee humanitarian stream. So there are altogether around 12 participants that I've followed, but I've been drawing upon the interviews of 8 of them, because they're the ones who have completed their interviews. Two of the 3 are no longer in the country, and one has engaged in work from Monday to Saturday, and she can find time to fulfill her interviews with me. They have been in Australia for an average of 9 months. They are involved in an AP center in a multicultural middle-class neighborhood in the Sydney metropolitan region, of which 60% of the population born overseas, and the place is a young population concentration about 20 to 39 years old. Participants and their language trajectories are the following. As you can see, they come from very highly literate and professional background. I know the concept of all in one is problematic, but these are the ones that they've reported that they predominantly used in the countries where they came from. All of them reported to studying English around 2 to 3 hours a week from their primary to their university years, except Marianne, who didn't have a chance to finish university. She's the one with a refugee status. I've highlighted Rebecca's and Vinnie's experience because they reported to having been involved in schools where English is used or was used as a medium of instruction. So they claim to have that experience in their home country. So, in what way do they think their English language learning experiences and in this context in the AMAP equipped them for a successful settlement? For us to understand how their experience translates to successful settlement, I'll just very quickly flash that for you, the kinds of learning that took place for them in the last 6 months that they were involved in the AMAP. So they enrolled in modular classes that are negotiated between them and their teacher. But I think more important than the actual classes that they went through, what is not reflected here, which I found that is commonly expressed by most of them, is their access to an English-speaking community. So being involved in the AAP allows them to have that social network, which they otherwise don't have at home. All of them reported to not having families here and a group of friends that they can go home to after classes and speak in English with. Looking at the interviews from interview 1, 2, 3, and a little bit of the last interview, which I've only recently conducted 3 weeks ago, some of the symbolic and material gains that the participants attached to English language learning are the view that it allows for them it affords them social networking and hence inclusion. It positions them to be workplace ready. It allows them access to services and allow them to dream for the future. And more importantly, I think, is it allows them the venue that confers and validates their English speaking selves. And all of these themes resonate across most of the interviews, but I'll draw example from, give you one example for each. Leah, who's from Indonesia and finished a veterinary medicine, claims that with having studied English, she now has many friends, whereas before that she felt that she was alone. She was only at home, her husband's working full-time, and she had no one to talk to. And so acquiring English proficiency allowed her to have this social network that she otherwise didn't have. Lily from mainland China talks about how having English proficiency makes her feel that she will be workplace ready, although as you can see in the quote, after 6 months of being enrolled in the AMAP, she still felt that she needed to improve on her English and perhaps enroll more in an English course in the TAFE. Access to services, most of them talk about how having the linguistic proficiency allows them to participate in the local community and allows them to access various services, so going shopping, seeing a doctor, appointments at Centrelink, and going on their own in medical centers rather than having an interpreter go with them. So it allows the participation in the community. It fascinated me that most of them anchored their dreams on the future, or their dreams of the future is predicated upon having their perception of having an English proficiency at the level that is acceptable to them. And so Lee and Rebecca, for instance, talk about what they want to do in the future, but that they feel that they can only do that once they have achieved a certain level of proficiency. And you know, and I think that's quite interesting to see that across all of them. I might, it would be interesting to mention as well how, you know, touching on how their social identity and their sense of who they are changes over time. And so the various plans that they have for the future actually also changes depending on their perception of where their English proficiency is at. Validation of their English speaking selves, and so being in the AMAP allows them to feel more comfortable about being in Australia, which is a predominantly English-speaking country, and allows them to participate. So the benchmarks for social inclusion based on those themes that I have just shown to you and that the AMAP provides for them is that are those things, so they give them ability to stay connected, to negotiate the day-to-day independently, and having empowered selves in the validation of their English-speaking identities. And it allows them to plan to find work and plan for the future. And the implications are not so much in terms of the actual things that they study in the AMAP. The implications that I want to talk about are more on 6 months after they're having completed the AMAP, and that means that there's that 6 months of being on their own without the AMAP. A couple of things that came out in our fourth interview, and that is the majority of them view not having continuing access to English language learning as actually losing that linguistic capital and intertwined with losing that social connection. So John, for instance, says, I think this was about 3 weeks ago, and he says, you know, I think my English is actually better immediately after I finished AMAP, because after that he didn't have the connections to allow him to practice his English. The similarly, workplace readiness as well is attached to having a sustained access to English, and so developing that proficiency. And as I reflected on this, my thinking is that continued access to a target language community is essential in constructing and maintaining their English-speaking selves and imagined participation in what Colt Pfizer calls the host land. And so without that, for the majority of them, there is that, so whilst the MAP role provides opportunity for social inclusion, that it provides access to target language learning, social networking and validation of their participation and their English-speaking identities, the implications is that with the provision of 510 hours that they have, that the, it might be more beneficial for the MEP clients to have that over a longer period of time that allows them continued access to the English learning community. And I'll end with Christina, which I think encapsulates the kinds of things that I've been talking about, which is mainly because that I feel more comfortable because of my English and I find new friends here and the job. It's not very good, but it's still enough for me. And I have my future plans here because last time I didn't know what to do, like maybe to do that or this, and I really didn't know. Maybe I'll stay here and maybe I'll go back. And so having that AMAP connection or English language learning venue connection provides them those avenues for feeling included in their new society. Thank you.